The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
I have a confession. I'm a nerd. I don't know if you guys knew that or not about me, but I'm a nerd. It's kind of like who I am at my core. And you say, well, why do you say that? You're cool. Thank you so much. We need to be friends. I need you to be my friend. So here's my thing. Kelsey and I have this weird thing. We like to talk about church. It's part of, like, you know, our life. It's a big part of our life. And I realized I gave you guys a couple words a couple months ago. There were three words I gave you: inviting, engaging, and igniting, right? We talked about how as a church, those were three things that we wanted to be. We wanted to be an inviting church. We wanted to be an engaging church. We wanted to be an igniting church. And I started to realize, though, that as much as I love to give you those words, and I want to keep those words before you, because I really think that when you and I capture those words, it's going to change how we conquer, how we reach our community for Christ. But then I realized that I also didn't tell you the importance of those words. And so today I want to talk to you guys about the state of the church. Why is that important? Why is this? Why is coming together? Why is being a part of this fellowship? Why is church important? Has anybody, okay, we're going to have some fun times this morning. Anybody ever just like, church not important? Not today. Have you seen outside? The creek's rising, you guys are in the bayou. The bayou's rising. It's just not worth it today. Church is not my thing today. Or, I don't know, like, you've seen this, like, massive 10-point buck, and he's just calling you from the stand, and you're like, you know, Jesus would understand. Like, he'd get it. Or there's all these reasons we have where we can just say, like, church, it's just not my thing today. And I get it. Listen, I'm telling you this because there are days I wake up, church ain't my thing today. I was telling Max earlier, I don't think we've had a kid sleep in their bed all night for, like, ever, it seems like. And last night I had Nora on the couch with me. She came in, but she didn't scare us this time. But she was on the couch with me while I was doing work. Thomas was up crying. Kelsey had him in one room. Evie sleeps until like 6, maybe sometimes 5:36 in the morning, and then she's up crying, and then the only one who sleeps is Charlotte, and that's because we have her in a dark black room with no windows. She's like in her own little cave. I would love to sleep in there, but it's one of those things that, like, this morning I woke up and there were 4 people in my bed, and I wasn't one of them. And so as I'm looking at this sea of 4 people in my bed, I'm like, I just want to go back to sleep for a little while. And so I get a Elsa and Anna purple blanket, and I curl up at the foot of our bed where I'm, like, dodging everybody else's feet, wrapped up in this little Elsa and Anna blanket. And honestly, when my alarm clock went off this morning, I was like, nope. Sorry, I don't tag somebody else's it. I don't want to get up. I don't want to go to church yet this morning. I want to stay here. I want to sleep. I want to get as much time as I can. And so I realize, like, as I'm telling you this, I want you to understand that this is coming from somebody who also feels the exact same way you do. There are times I question the importance of church, but this morning what I want to look at is why church matters, why church is important, and why it's a big deal for you and I. The most important decision that a person can make is this: to follow Christ with their life, right? Would you guys agree with that? Placing your faith and hope in Jesus Christ is the most important decision that you can ever make. Now, for a follower of Christ, so someone who's already a Christian, you've taken care of that decision, I want to submit to you or just put before you, the second most important decision you can make is your involvement in church. And I want to point to Scripture, and I want to point to who God talks about the church as the basis for that statement. Because I think you can say, well, no, it's to maintain my relationship with Christ. You're absolutely correct. It is to maintain your relationship with Christ. But how do you maintain your relationship with Christ? You do it as part of a body, as part of a fellowship, as part of the church. And so if the church functions the way it's supposed to, then you maintaining your relationship is going to be taken care of through the church. And just to kind of show you guys what I mean here, I've got several different things. The first little thing on your notes is just blank lines. If I say Zach. Where's Zach? Zach. Okay, what's up, Zach? How are you? If you hear the name Zach, does that like, did you shudder a little bit when I said your name? Yeah, a little bit? Okay. All right. Anybody else? Let's see. If Nora Mamie. Oh, yeah, there it is. Little head pops up. But, all right, if I hear, hey, sweet thing, I know who's talking to me. What's up, baby? How are you? Names. We have different names, right? What are some names that you go by? For me, I was thinking about this in names. I had names like John. If I hear John, I know somebody who's talking to me may not know me really well. And so they're just like, hey, your name's John, so I'm just going to blurt out your name. I go by things like son. That was the first thing I was. I was born into the world. I was a son. The second thing, I was a brother. If I hear the name, if I hear my name from one of my brothers, I know that voice. I know who's calling me, who's talking to me. Husband, dad. Those are names that I have. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. I'm a Tiger fan. I won't tell you who. I'll just tell you I'm a Tiger fan. I'll tell you I'm a Lightning fan on good days. And on bad days, I'll just not mention it. But all those things go into who I am. And each one of those names has a different meaning for me, right? Because of each one of those names, it kind of does something different. The church is given several names to show the different functions, but also to help us understand who we are as part of the church universal. But not just who we are as a part of the church, the bigger scheme, the broader scheme of the church, but as well as what the church should mean to you and I and how you and I should treat the church. So far, y'all with me? Okay. Church has different names. Different names kind of illustrate the importance of each name and what the church should mean to you and I. So the first one, anybody want to guess the first name of the church? Church. It is church. Yes. The body of Christ. Anybody ever heard that? The Mike actually just sang about the body of Christ. Now, why does he call it the body of Christ? It's interesting because in 1 Corinthians 12:27 it says, now you are the body of Christ. As individual members, you make up the body. The first thing is it's active. What is in like nurses, doctors? I'm going back to my like CPR scene. You walk in. Anybody take CPR for driver's ed? Do you guys have to do that now? No? You have to take it on Monday? All right, I'm going to help you out. First thing you do, you walk in and you survey the scene, right? Is the scene safe? Is the scene safe? Y'all remember this from, anybody ever take CPR? Okay, good. Oh, good. All right. Is the scene safe? Then the second thing you do is what? You look, listen, and feel for movement, a pulse, signs of life, right? Because I used to be a lifeguard. You'd be amazed how many times I would walk up to somebody in the pool. And they'd be laying. They'd be perfectly still. I'd check the scene for safety. And then like, actually I didn't. But I'd just go up and I'd like look. Because it's really embarrassing if you go up and you start checking the pulse on somebody who's just sunbathing and falling asleep. Like it's super embarrassing. Not that I would know from experience. But just, you know. So I would always look to see if they would move, if there was a twitch, if their chest would rise or would fall. See, activity is the sign of life, which means as a church, are you supposed to be active? Yeah, there's supposed to be movement. There's supposed to be something going on to show that the church is alive. The body of Christ is alive and moving in our world today. If a church is not moving, if a church is not active, guess what? They're not the living body of Christ. The first thing that the church should be as the body of Christ is it should be active. The second thing that the body of Christ tells us is this, is that it's precious or it's valuable. It's valued. The passage in your notes is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29 through 30. In there, Paul says this, after all, no one ever hated their own body, but they fed and took care of the body, just as Christ does for the church. For we are members of his body. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking to you about the church. I am talking about Christ in the church. You go in, you get news from your doctor that your blood pressure might be slightly higher than it should be. And the first thing they tell you to do is to cut back on salt. And I like salt because it makes things taste good. What do I do? Well, I have to ask myself, how much do I care about my body? How much do I want to prolong my life? How do I want to take care of myself? Is my life valuable enough that I'm willing to give up salt in my diet? Why? For my life, for my heart, for the betterment of my being. See, what this passage talks about is this, is the church. What you and I are part of as the church is valuable to Christ. It's so valuable that he gave himself, but he also takes care of it and he wants you to take care of it. Do you put as much care and concern into church as you do your physical body? It's a question that you have to ask, because I think that the fact that he calls it his body in these passages, and there's other ones that talk about the value of how important the importance that people put on their body, but how they neglect their spiritual life, their spiritual body, the body of Christ. And so this morning, I want you to understand that because we are part of the body of Christ, it needs to be active, but also you need to place value on this, because Christ placed value on this. The church is a valuable thing to God. Are you valuing the body of Christ and keeping it active like you need to? The second thing, anybody want to take a guess as to what the church is called second? The blank of Christ. The bride. Wonderful, the bride of Christ. He calls it the bride of Christ. And you have some passages there. Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 8. Let us rejoice and be glad for him and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Anybody ever seen an ugly bride? So one person said yes. I don't even want to. Luckily, it wasn't a married person. No, but have you ever seen? No, nobody's going to say, "Oh man, she did not look good today." That's the last thing you want to say to a bride. Why? Because there's something beautiful about every bride. Every bride is beautiful in their own right. Why? Because that's the way it's set up. And so the first thing is, the church is the bride of Christ. It's beautiful. Have y'all ever thought about this? Just take 1 second, real quick. This is your permission. You don't have to pay attention to me at all. Look around this room. Just look around this room real quick. We have different ages. We have different places that everybody comes from. And yet we're all here together. What could bring this diverse of people together? Well, it's the fact that it's beautiful, because it's the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ is beautiful. It's pure. This comes with the idea that, are we doing our part to make the bride of Christ attractive and pure? In your individual walk, as part of the body, as part of individual members of this, are you doing your part to make this a beautiful thing? Anybody ever done this? Let's just say you go to Johnny's Pizza Buffet, because it's this week, or you go to La Herradura and you sit down and you're sitting at lunch, and all of a sudden you're like, that preacher will never shut up. He has a watch on. Doesn't he know what time it is? Doesn't he understand all that's going on? Did you see what he was wearing? He was wearing gray on gray today. Oh my gosh. Did you see what this person did? And all of a sudden your whole lunch conversation is how awful church was. Anybody ever done that? We have. But man, here's the bad thing about that is, what you're doing is you are portraying the bride of Christ in an ugly way. Now listen, I've been around church a long time. I know church can be ugly. I know it can be, and I know it can hurt, and I know it can be hurtful, and I know it can say things and do things that have affected some of y'all in this room deeply. And I want to tell you, on behalf of me, as best I can, I'm so sorry for that. But I also want to tell you this. It's up to you and I to make the church beautiful. And so if the church isn't beautiful, or if the church has been ugly to you in the past, then guess what? You get to be the catalyst for change that makes the church a beautiful place for other people. The bride of Christ is pure. It's beautiful. The second thing about the fact that he calls it the bride of Christ is this. Is it means that it's valuable and loved. Man, listen, you can talk bad about me. You can talk bad about my Tigers. You can talk bad about my Lightning. Don't talk bad about my bride. Son, we'll throw it down and we'll scrap like I ain't scrapped in a long time. Because that's my bride. She's valuable and she's loved. And I will do everything in this world to show her that. Confessions of a terrible dad, maybe. There's no length I won't go to make sure my kids are happy. No length. I bought Nora some kind of drink yesterday. It was in a pineapple. That's all I can tell you. It was in a pineapple. Why? Because she wanted it. Why? Because that's important. She's valuable to me, and I want her to know how loved and valuable she is. Isaiah, Ephesians, these passages talk about the fact that as the bride of Christ, Jesus valued the church enough to lay down his life for it. I'm not saying that you and I have to lay down our life for the church and physically die. But man, is church valuable to you? Do you love this? Is this valuable above other things in your life? Or do you find yourself looking for every reason not to be a part of this? It's valuable and it's loved. And the reason that the scripture calls it the bride of Christ is because Jesus wants this to be valuable to you and I as followers of Christ. The next thing, this one's a little harder. It's the fellowship of the saints is another phrase for the church in scripture. It's called the fellowship of the saints. John has this passage, First John chapter 1, verse 3. He says that we have seen and heard and proclaimed to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. It's the idea that there's a shared interest when you come to this part, when you come to this place, when you come here. There it is. What's our shared interest? To start out with, salvation. Anybody a sinner who needs grace? Yep, me too. There we go. We've got a shared interest. Every single person who walks through that door, this door, that door, wherever you came into this building from today, you're a sinner that's saved by grace, or you're a sinner in need of being saved by grace. Every single one of us has that as a shared interest. But it goes on, and what he tells us is he uses the word fellowship twice. Our first fellowship is in the fact that we all have fellowship in that. Our second fellowship is that we all get to take part in the same mission now. What's the mission? Man, it's reaching our community. It's reaching our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so our shared interest is twofold. It's we have a common goal that brings us together. We all need salvation, but we also have a common goal moving us forward, pushing us out into a world who needs to see the gospel lived out in us. Also, the idea of fellowship of the saints brings this idea of togetherness. In your notes, you have Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. It talks about the excuse me. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. It's the idea of being together. You have a fellowship with each other. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, verses 3 through 7, which is also in your notes, you have a word partnership and you also have a word share. Both those words are the Greek word for fellowship. It means that you have a partnership, you have a share in this, you have stock in this together. It means that what you get to experience in this place is different from anything else that you get to experience. I used to tell students this all the time when I was in student ministry. Do you know how many people I talk to from my high school still? Let me ask you, how many people you still talk to from your high school? One, two, maybe? I can tell you, I can still reach out to every single person I went to church with as a middle school, high school student into college. I can still reach out to friends who I went to church with 5 years ago, and I know that they'll be there for me. Why? Because we're part of this thing together. We're part of something bigger. We have fellowship with each other. Fellowship is a fancy way of saying we share in the work. We share in the joy. We share in the suffering all together. It's this idea that together we're so much stronger than on our own. We're going to get to that in just a second also. The last thing he calls it, or the last thing that I found for the church in scripture is this. It's the church of Christ. It means the assembly of being together. Pay careful attention to your flock, to all your flock, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer, and care for the church of God, which he has obtained by his own blood. The Church of Christ is the idea that you and I are part of an assembly. We're together. The writer here in Acts uses the word flock. Why is flock an important word? Because in a flock, there's comfort, there's protection, there's safety, there's comfort, protection, safety, and joy together. And so as being a part of an assembly, you get to be a part of those things. As a flock, you join together. Scripture says we rejoice with another. When one rejoices, all rejoice. When we weep, we all weep. Why? Because we're a part of this together. And what we can accomplish as an assembly, as a group, is way more impactful than what you could do on your own. What's our mission? As a Christian, what's your mission? Share the good news of hope, I think is what you said. Okay, great. Anybody know how many people are in Caddo Parish? A lot. I like that answer because there's a lot. So you personally go share the hope of Jesus Christ with every single person in Caddo Parish. Going to take you a little bit of time. Actually, I don't think you can do anything else with your life other than that. If you start now and then you live to be 70 or 80 years old, you may accomplish it. But if you and I join together and we say, hey, listen, we're going to reach every person in Morningsport with the good news of the hope of Jesus Christ. And that's tangible because you and I can do that. Not only can we do Morningsport, we could probably do Caddo Parish. Not only could we do Caddo Parish, we could probably stretch out a little bit further and go to Northwest Louisiana. Not only could we do that, we could probably branch out a little further. And what we could do together is way more than what you and I could ever do on our own. The last thing about the Church of Christ is this. It comes with organization. I know that's a dirty word. Some of you don't like the term organization. If you were to look at my office, you'd probably think I don't like the term organization either. But just read this passage real quick. On the first day of every week, each of you should put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. What's this mean? It means we've got a giant task before us, church. Our calling, our job as a church is to reach the ends of the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. If you don't have a plan for how you're going to do that, you're never going to accomplish it. Some big football games today, is that right? I think something like Super Bowl is next week or something 2 weeks away, I don't know. Let's just say, I think there's a guy who's playing it today, Joe somebody. Joe Burrow, you guys know who he is. Okay, good. So let's just say Joe Burrow shows up with the Cincinnati Bengals today and they walk out on the field and they haven't done a single snap of practice. They haven't taken any time to game plan or to strategize about how they're going to attack Patrick Mahomes on a bad ankle or how they're going to do any of those things. They're just going to show up and play ball and have fun, right? How do you think that's going to work for them? Terrible. They're going to get stomped. But man, look at what we do in church all the time. We're just going to show up and be blessed, brother. Show up and be a part of something. And there's got to be some organization. There's got to be some planning. And when we get together and we organize and we plan and we develop an effective strategy about how we're going to go out and we're going to reach this community, we're going to reach this parish, we're going to reach this state, we're going to reach the world, that's when God starts to use this small church in the middle of nowhere. You know the first thing that I heard about this church when we interviewed to come here a long time ago? A year ago. It's just a small country church. Man, you know what I heard? It's a place that God's dying to get his hands on. Because when they grasp what they can become, when they grasp what they can do, they can have an impact bigger than any of them could ever imagine on their own. And that's why Kelsey and I said, we got to go. We've got to be a part of this. But it takes organization. The word church means that we are organized together, fighting with a battle plan of how we're going to reach our community. I'm not going to harp on this long, but I'm going to pause here for a second. Some of y'all are coming, you're sitting in a pew. Yeah, I'm here. This isn't valuable to you. This isn't important. It's not precious. It's not organized because you don't want to care. You don't want to put any effort or energy into organizing it. You want to check a box off your list that says, I went to church today. I love you and I'm so glad you're here. Because I hope that you saw through today's words, through God's words, through scripture, that man, what we're called to be is bigger than that. And the way that you're going to fully understand and appreciate who Christ has called you to be as a follower of Christ. That's my boy Thomas. I know that cry. The only way you're going to be who God has called you to be as a follower of Christ is to value this. To become a part of what God's doing here. Tonight, or today, 3:30, we're going to start meetings. If you're a part of a committee, a team, a ministry, you've got a time designated for you to meet. I'm begging you as a pastor who cares about his flock to be here. You say, well, I just showed up here. Cool. Listen, there are all kinds of ministries and organizations. You know the first thing they always ask me for? Hey, we need some help. We need some bodies. We need some people willing to do some different things in church. You come today and I'll help you find a spot that can get you plugged into church immediately, that you can start serving, that you can start making a difference, that you can start becoming a part of this thing. In just a moment, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. What you do as this is you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. But you also unite yourself with other believers who believe that the body and the blood of Christ is at work today, actively working through the church. So before you take that today, before you take the Lord's Supper today, I want to challenge you just to think about your relationship with the church. Have you been doing your part to keep it active? To take care of it, to make it beautiful? Have you been doing your part to make sure that it is the best that it can possibly be so that we can reach this community effectively and powerfully with the gospel of Jesus Christ? God, I thank you for today. Father, I thank you for these people that are here, and Lord, these individuals. God, we came as individuals, but we become one in you. Father, today I pray that as we've looked at what the church, what this fellowship means to you, God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, you would challenge us to take steps to take care of your body, your bride, your fellowship, and your church. Lord, for those that have decisions in their heart that they need to make during this time, I pray that you would work in a way that only you can. Father, I love you. I love these folks. I thank you for this time with them this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.